¡Sangrales, hijo de puta!
Since June 2009, Honduras has seen its democratically elected leader, President Manuel Zelaya, ousted from government and sent into exile. He now resides in sanctuary at the Brazilian embassy in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. Canadian journalist Don Paley of the Dominion newspaper and MediaCoop.ca is spending a month in Honduras to uncover Canadian corporate and government involvement in the coup d'etat. Since the coup, Honduran civil society has risen up and taken to the streets by the tens of thousands to demand a return to democratic rule by reinstating President Zelaya. CKDU had the chance to do an exclusive interview with Don Paley for Operation Wake Up on December 11th, 2009.
Well, I came down to Honduras to report on what the situation is in the country after the November 29th elections, which took place, of course, following the coup d'etat on June 28th. And these elections have been recognized by some countries, but not most. And Canada has congratulated the Honduran people on the elections, although they haven't officially recognized them yet. So I came down as a journalist, and I'm just covering various parts of the resistance to the coup d'etat and also taking a look at some of the possible Canadian involvement, or at least looking at some of the Canadian companies that are operating here. And, you know, the corporate sector is widely regarded as the main people or the entities responsible for the coup d'etat on June 28th.
How did the elections go down on November 29th?
Well, I wasn't actually here during the elections. From what I understand, it was quite a low turnout, which was later, you know, amped up in the corporate media as having been a huge turnout. Many people that I've been meeting with over the past days refused to vote in the elections since they took place while the elected president, Manuel Zelaya Rosales, was actually being basically trapped in the Brazilian embassy and unable to leave. So, I mean, that's a very basic sort of black and white example of why the November 29th elections here in Honduras have widely been regarded, at least, you know, by Hondurans from poor and working class backgrounds as having been fraudulent. I'll also note that all the countries of Mercosur, which is the largest trade bloc in Latin America that includes Argentina, Venezuela, and others, have refused to recognize the November 29th elections.
What Canadian companies are involved in Honduras? How are they involved with the coup d'etat?
Well, that's still something that remains to be excavated. I think that there'll be more and more evidence coming out over the next month, over the next years, as to the exact level of involvement of Canadian companies in the coup d'etat. We do know that, for example, Goldcorp, which is a very large, principally gold mining company based in Vancouver, that operated a mine in Honduras, it's now closed, but operated the mine for about 10 years, was busing employees and local people from the region where the mine was located to pro-coup rallies. There's also a company working that has various sweatshops down here called Gildan Activewear. And though I don't know much about the role of Gildan specifically in the coup d'etat here in Honduras, Gildan, of course, has a reputation because of their activities in Haiti during the coup d'etat there in 2004. So I think a lot of this remains to be uncovered. But as I mentioned before, here in Honduras, it's widely regarded that the coup was primarily carried out by local capitalists and the oligarchy, and also some transnational corporations. There was a letter that went out from the Honduran Chamber of Commerce asking companies to donate different amounts of money in order to support essentially what would become the coup d'etat. So we don't have the data yet on exactly who those companies were, but, you know, I think that's stuff that it really does need to be looked at. There's a number of other Canadian mining companies based here in Honduras, and I don't have a list in front of me, but sort of the biggest ones, or the ones that are most on the radar, are certainly Goldcorp and Gildan Activewear.
Have you been down to the, or tell me what's happening at the Brazilian embassy where Manuel Zelaya is located currently?
Well, he's been in the Brazilian embassy since September 21st. He entered the country basically, as a stowaway, and he's essentially trapped in there right now. He could come out, but it's very unclear what would happen if he did. We were at the Brazilian embassy a few nights ago when the corporate media essentially started reporting that he was going to leave, that he was going to leave the airport, that he was going to take a flight to Mexico and try to get asylum of some kind in Mexico. And it was really interesting when we got to the Brazilian embassy because the only people there was no one from the resistance movement, the resistance to the coup. The only people at the Brazilian embassy were about a dozen members of the corporate media. And it sort of turned into a bit of a show where essentially they were trying to create the impression that there was a huge amount of pressure for Zelaya to leave the country, and that it later came out, Mel Zelaya himself denied that he had sought to leave, or that he had sought to leave to Mexico. But the way it's being spun in the corporate media here, and also it was reported quite widely internationally, that he wanted to leave Honduras, but he was denied permission to leave by the de facto government of Porfirio Lobo. So he's still in the Brazilian embassy. He's still the president of Honduras. The elections that took place, as I mentioned, on November 29th, although they haven't been recognized, there is a new president-elect, so-called, Porfirio Lobo. He's supposed to be inaugurated on January 27th. So at least up until that date, the current president of Honduras is still Manuel Zelaya. He's able to access food, but he can't leave the embassy right now. So it's a real tough situation, and nobody really knows what the resolution to this crisis is going to be.
You've been watching and covering the resistance to the coup d'etat that has been going on for quite some time since the date of the coup in June. Tell us about what that looks like now after so long.
Okay, well, this morning there was the first march, the first big demonstration by the National Front of Resistance against the coup d'etat since the November 29th elections. The march started moving at about 10 a.m. I would estimate there were about 800 people there at the maximum. It walked from a building that is the headquarters of a cell phone company called Tigo, which is, again, widely seen as a company that supported the coup d'etat. The march went from there to a radio station called Radio Globo. That's a radio station, one of the very few that has actually been actively anti-coup. And, the journalists have been risking their lives on a daily basis to report what is happening with the military government, while they call it a dictatorship, and the de facto regime here in Honduras. It was a peaceful march. There was a huge police presence, but, during the march there was no overt violence. And, of course, that's something that this so-called democratic government in Honduras probably wants to avoid right now. But what many, many people told me today while we were marching, and, people with flags and banners singing chants, including that they want Mel Zelaya back as president, that they want a constitutional assembly in Honduras. But what people were saying was that the repression comes after. After the march, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, selective disappearances, kidnappings. There's been at least 29 political activists assassinated since the coup. So it's not an overt type of violence like what we saw on July 5th when Zelaya attempted to fly into the country. There was a member of the resistance murdered openly, during the manifestation in favor of his return. There's none of that sort of open violence happened today, and things appear to happen very peacefully. But, people are scared, and one of the reasons people were saying the turnout wasn't huge was because people are very intimidated, and they're scared of raising their voices and speaking out against the coup regime.
It must be a really interesting situation to be down there. The story of Radio Globo sounds really interesting. I don't know if you could tell me more about it for our listeners here in Halifax at CKDU about
sure.
this. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd love to. I just did an interview with the director of Radio Globo yesterday. And he explained to me how basically he arrived at the station on June 28th. On June 28th, what was supposed to happen was a preliminary non-binding plebiscite across the country as to whether Hondurans would support the opening of a process of a constituent assembly in the country. So people were expecting on June 28th to go and vote, and many to vote. You know, we don't know how that vote would have turned out because it never happened. There was a coup d'etat that morning at 5:30. So the director of Radio Globo got into the station very early in the morning. He does a radio show at 5 in the morning. He saw the military already installed outside of the radio station. He went into the station and flipped on the radio to listen to the shows of his competitors, the other corporate channels here in Honduras. There's two other big main radio stations. And he said they were not reporting anything. It was as if everything was normal, as if there was no coup d'etat. So he went on the air right away and he started denouncing the coup. And within hours, he had been called by the spokesperson of the armed forces and told to stop, to lower the tone, and to tell the truth. And he responded, "I am telling the truth. The world knows that there's been a coup d'etat. The world knows that Manuel Zelaya has been taken out of the country and is now in Costa Rica, and I will continue to denounce this coup." That evening, the military actually stormed the radio station. Various journalists were taken out of the station by the military. The director of the station actually escaped through a back window, and he went to his house. The next morning, he was picked up by the military. He was taken to sort of the main military base here in the capital city, Tegucigalpa, for a sit-down meeting with the top general, Romeo Vasquez. He was told there, basically, he was told what to report on, and he was also told, basically in a veiled threat, to lower his profile and lower the profile of his radio station because it's a very dangerous situation, was what this general told him. And he said, "Okay, we're going to keep reporting the truth. Thank you very much, but no thanks." Went back to the station, and Radio Globo has consistently reported what is actually happening, and that's part of the reason why the resistance movement ended their march today in front of the station, which is also celebrating its 10th anniversary today. In a move that was denounced by organizations including Reporters Without Borders, the Honduran government passed a decree that shut down Radio Globo and various other channels and stations who've been reporting, you know, anti-coup or at least reporting on the interruption of democracy here in Honduras. During the 22 days when Radio Globo was shut down, they actually set up a clandestine internet site, which has since had more than 1 million visitors, and they've had international recognition for their work. So it's been a really amazing time, and without Radio Globo is a corporate station, but it's decided not to take the government line, the official line of the coup government, which is to say. So, they've really been a huge support to the popular movement. And, you know, everyone here will say to you, "Oh, well, you know, it's 8 o'clock, I got to go listen to Radio Globo," because that's when there's one of the shows on where people actually, that's where they get their news from, about, you know, the nightly assassinations of political activists, about the disappearances, about the different maneuverings that are happening within the coup government. So it's a vital piece of the movement for democracy and justice here in Honduras.
For the CKDU News Collective and Operation Wake Up, this has been David Parker. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. to listen to the show live on CKDU 88.1 FM in Halifax. Hay que bajarlos y entregarle al pueblo la administración. Porque Mel es el grito del pueblo. Viene Mel, el triunfo está seguro. Ya no queremos ni verdes ni maduros. Son los culpables de tanta pobreza, miseria y dolor. Las milicias eternamente jóvenes, liberales dispuestos a luchar, porque haya pan en la mesa de los pobres. Es Mel Zelaya, el nuevo inquilino en la presidencia.